everyone. Thanks for tuning in to the Casual Kiwi Chats. My name is Natalie. I'm a peer educator for the Counseling and Psychological Services.
And I'm Annie. I'm also a peer educator for the Counseling and Psychological Services. And I'm also a research assistant for the Power of Women and Relationships Lab here at FIU. And that's where I did a lot of the research that we're going to be talking about.
Okay, cool. And today we're just going to be talking about the topic of non-consensual pornography. And I want to ask you, why this topic?
So non-consensual pornography, first of all, is what people usually call like revenge porn. It's the distribution of sexually explicit images or texts without someone's consent. This is something that kind of emerged recently that the academic sphere has kind of taken note of. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, notes like cameras, everyone having a camera is kind of like a new thing when you really think about it in the scope of like 10 or 15 years. Everyone has one now on their phone. And so, you know, now there's a different, like, there's that different avenue of like to express your sexuality, taking like nude photos or semi-nude photos. And so there isn't much research done on the topic now. And so people that really care about like sexual violence prevention, mm-hmm. because non-consensual pornography is a type of sexual violence, mm-hmm. because victims end up having a lot of the same like trauma symptoms that someone that like might be like sexually assaulted or that, mm-hmm. you know, they have really like their rate of symptoms for like somatic symptoms is really high. And generally what that means is like, you know, they'll get headaches, they'll get aches and pains, just like, you know, like your body trying to tell you like, hey, like there's something wrong, yeah. type of thing. You know, when you get so stressed out, you get sick. Mm-hmm. That's what somatic symptoms are. And they have like lower like rates of well-being. So they're like have a lot of anxiety, depression, nervousness, PTSD symptoms and stuff like that. So this is something that's important,
yeah.
especially for like college age, because we found in the few studies that we have done that have been conducted over the last few years, that perpetration and victimization of non-consensual pornography happens the most between 18 and 29, which is college students. That's emerging adulthood. Very long-winded, but yeah.
Yeah, thank you. And also, why do you use the term non-consensual pornography rather than revenge porn, like the lingo that we use?
Oh, okay. So revenge porn has this connotation of like they did something to earn this happening to them, right? Like someone's getting revenge on you, yeah. for someone for doing that. And so that can get into like very victim blaming like territory, and we're trying to stay away from that. Mm-hmm. And it also just doesn't, you know, encompass the entire scope of what non-consensual pornography is. Mm-hmm. So revenge porn, you kind of think of like, oh, it's like an ex doing that to you to get back at you, yeah. for like breaking up with them or whatever. And while that is the case a lot of the times, because we found with perpetration, it's almost always like someone they know, just mm-hmm. like regular, like
sexual assault.
Regular sexual assault. But also sometimes people do it or perpetrate it for like monetary reasons. They want to make money off like posting it somewhere, mm-hmm. or using it as blackmail and things like that. So we try to use as broad of a definition as possible, mm-hmm. to be able to include people's experiences, like different, yeah. types of experiences.
Okay, cool. And also, why did you choose this topic?
So me specifically, it really bothers me the amount of victim blaming that does happen when people get like their nudes leaked or whatever. We had that whole thing where like they called it the Fappening a few years ago, where like all of the celebrities like nudes got leaked and people were coming down on them, like calling them sluts and that it was their fault because, you know, if you don't want like your family seeing those photos, then why are you taking them? Mm-hmm. But I think that's very short-sighted, you know, that's right. very, like, shaming of people's, like, sexuality. There are so many different avenues to express yourself as, like, a sexual being. And, mm-hmm. you know, to be shamed for it kind of just creates this air of, like, oh, we're not supposed to talk about this.
Okay.
You know, we can't talk about this. That's shameful. Mm-hmm. And so what that ends up creating, like, this ripple effect that, like, society isn't comfortable talking about sex. And so when you're, like, trying to have sex with someone that you're not really, you don't know how to go about having that conversation of consent. Yeah. And so that conversation doesn't happen, and then sexual assault ends up happening as a result. And so it's just like one thing leads to another in the grand mm-hmm. scheme of things. And it creates a really big problem. So I decided that this was one of the ways that I could tackle it from an academic standpoint that matches up with my like research interests.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Cool.
Yeah.
And the last question is, how do you think we can solve this problem? Like, what steps do you think we can kind of take, or where can we start?
So I think a good place to start is just the language that we use. You know, we use non-consensual pornography, not revenge porn, mm-hmm. type of thing, because the way we talk about things kind of dictates how as a society we see them. So if we talk about something in like very hushed tones, you know, it's not polite conversation, we're not supposed to talk about that, you know, no one can like hear us or whatever, like, you know, we start giggling like 12-year-old boys type of thing. It creates this like atmosphere that that's shameful, that that's not helpful, that, you know, that there's something wrong with sex or sexuality or wanting sex. And then, you know, have we talked about that ripple effect? And so I think that being comfortable kind of, you know, with your own sexuality, how you like to express it, being able to express that to someone else.
Yeah.
And then, you know, talk about other people's in a way that isn't so like hush-hush taboo. Okay. Obviously within like your boundaries and that person's boundaries, I think really helps. You know, the language kind of dictates our ideals.
Okay, cool. Yeah. And is there anything else that you want to add for us to know or...
You know. Yeah, if there's anything that you leave here with, it's that, you know, I'm so sorry that your trust was betrayed. You didn't deserve that. You didn't ask for it. You know, you weren't asking for it because you took the photos in the first place or because you should have known better. You know, you're not naive. You know, you didn't do something. It wasn't some sort of moral failing.
Mm-hmm.
It was just that someone that you trusted ended up betraying that, and that's not on you.
Mm-hmm.
The process of dealing with it is hard and difficult and confusing, and you have ups and downs, and I respect that, and I see you, and I'm here for you, but I don't want you to ever think, or anyone to ever think, that they did something for this. And you know, if they were posted to like sites and stuff like that, the Cyber Civil Rights Initiative here in Miami is what can help like legally take them down and stuff like
awesome,
that.
Awesome, yeah. And also, if you're an FIU student, you have the Victim Empowerment Program for you. It's free and confidential. We help with all types of victimization like sexual assault, hazing, stalking, domestic violence. So you can definitely contact us 24/7 at 305-348-2277. So yeah, thank you so much, Ani, for letting us bring this topic to light and raise awareness.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm happy that you care.
Thank you for listening too.
Bye.
See you next time.